This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I am your host, Steve Ulscher, along with Mary Gallet. Hey, Mary Gallet.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Mary Gallet.
Uh-oh. My mic is
no,
weird.
You sound good. You sound
is it
good.
Okay?
You sound perfect. You look perfect. You sound perfect. And then there's Rich Ote.
And then there's Rich.
And then there's Rich. What's up, Richie Rich? How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great. I'm feeling even better after the Cubs whooping up, getting whooped, excuse me, by the Pods.
What? No, they didn't.
Yeah, they
the
got
Cubs
swept
lost
in
to the
a doubleheader.
Come on now. That was like a little blip in the season of this is their year. Trust me on that.
No,
all right,
let's
jump straight into it. And, Rich, I figure you'll really appreciate today's show because we've got – man, just an amazing guy on the line. First and foremost, let's bring Justin up because I want to make sure Justin is loud and clear. So we got Justin Livingston hanging out with today here on Reinvention Radio. Justin, are you there, my brother? How about?
I'm sure I can do loud. Let's hope I can be clear.
Yeah, man, you are loud and you are clear. Awesome. Because I figured that if two people in this room are going to get along other than you and I, it's definitely going to be you and Rich. Because do you know Justin?
Oh yeah, I was looking forward to this one.
What do you know about Justin? Let me hear from the Rich Ote side of the fence there.
Well, I just like the idea. I'll sum up the easiest one. I like the idea of automated money. I like the idea of being able to go to bed
or
watch a game or do something, but he does it in a way that he actually adds value to, and
yeah.
I don't know what that exact bank account looks like, but there's some reoccurring stuff for sure going on there.
There's probably not as many Google zeros as Google, but there's probably a lot more zeros than Steve Ulscher at this point. So there we go. All right, so Justin, man, for those who do not know you and what you're doing, man, kind of bring everybody up to speed on who you are and what you're doing.
Right. Well, aren't I just famous for being friends of Steve Ulscher, I think, first and foremost, right?
You know what? I would say
don't
that...
Don't even go
the
there.
Coattails,
really?
As they say.
You have no idea what that does to
it makes the room a lot smaller for
yes.
the rest of them.
I'm well aware. I'm well aware of what I'm doing. Hey, you know, well, I'm excited to be on the show. I started listening to this podcast recently because my business partner, Callan Rush, and I are looking forward to starting our own podcast, and a mutual friend of ours, Gina Gabellini,
sure,
whom
sure.
I think she's been a guest, right?
She has been, yeah. She was great.
So she's, oh, you got to listen to you
can, she yeah, set the bar pretty high for you, bro.
Radio, so I've been checking it out. And, yeah. It's, yeah, your podcast, I think it might be my favorite one.
Nice, man.
Of all the business ones I've been listening to.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's good.
Sweet. All right, but that doesn't bring anybody.
Yeah,
well, exactly. Who's Justin?
yeah, right. Who the heck am I? Nobody knows. So, I've built a business with a woman named Callan Rush over the last, I think it's been 8 years now we've been together and supporting mostly workshop, seminar, and retreat leaders. We have programs for all different elements of helping them build their business and create programs and sell from stage and fill their events, all that cool stuff. And in that time, we've built our business up fairly quickly. With regards to the amount of people that we're serving over the world and, of course, making millions and millions of dollars every year and just selling information and programs and whatnot. So recently, over the past year and a bit, I've branched off and, under the same umbrella, but kind of built a brand that's me as opposed to Callan, and helping same type of an audience, but helping them scale their businesses and build multi-million dollar enterprises as an expert or a practitioner of some kind, selling information and transformation and experience and helping them grow their mm-hmm. teams and scale their businesses. And of course, what we'll be talking about today is the passive side of it, passive and automated client enrollment, which we do online, millions of dollars a year without any of our direct involvement, which is helpful. It's a lot easier to build and scale a business when you can keep the doors open as the... on autopilot, so to speak.
Yeah, so here's what I want you to do, though. You got to set the stage a little bit because, first and foremost, the success that you're having now, this was not something where you just woke up on your day. You're just like, hey, I'm a millionaire. I'm doing great. I know all this stuff. I mean, you've actually been in the game for a long time. As a matter of fact, I mean, first of all, you started as an MMA fighter. Well, you did that a little bit, but you got into
yeah.
So talk a little bit about the MMA stuff, but then also talk about – You worked for T. Harv Eker at one point, like early in your career, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I mean, that's as far as this industry goes. I mean, that's definitely where I got my start and where I learned most of what I know, frankly, definitely for the live event space.
Mm-hmm.
I learned most of it from him. And Kellen was a trainer in his organization as well. So that's where she cut her teeth, so to speak. And then, we've put our own spin on things, as we've grown and had our own experiences to draw from.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, I would definitely put him as the number one resource for me as far as where I learned a lot of what I know and got my original testing in, for sure. Did a number of really cool projects for that organization back in the day. I think he's probably, to my knowledge, still as far as, the personal development side of things, to my knowledge anyway, I think he's still probably the second biggest.
Sure.
As far as exposure goes and organization-wise and team, I would say second to
just Tony Robbins,
Mr.
Probably.
Tony Robbins, yeah. Who a few people have heard of.
So at what point, because you actually did, you were a professional fighter. I mean, a lot of guys talk about just doing MMA, doing kind of the stuff in the gym and whatnot, but you actually had pro fights. And did you actually make any money when you were fighting? What was your record? How did you do? And at what point did you decide, I'm not going to get my head beat in anymore and I actually want to go and make some real money?
Yeah, well, I did it before there was much money in it. Like, luckily, I did it before you had to be any good, which was awesome. you and I both train in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and back then, the highest rank, and I'm from Canada, and the highest rank in our entire country was a purple belt.
Wow.
So you didn't have to be all that good back then. This is around 2000, so mm-hmm. it's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I had six fights. And, I got paid not enough. I mean, that's why I the real reason why I started to transition out was just, I was looking to get, I was in a relationship and we were, talking marriage at the time and stuff. So, I haven't had kids and stuff like that, but at the time it was looking like that was the way it was going to go. And
mm-hmm.
I thought, oh goodness, I have to actually do something that's going to put some food on the table, so to speak.
Yeah. Right.
I think the most money I ever made. Right. Most money I ever made in a fight was like $2,000 or something.
Wow.
So not, not anything that's going to help in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But
and now you make that on an hourly basis, just doing the whole automated passive revenue thing. So they're and actually probably a lot more than that, really, when you come right down to it. But
how'd that segue happen from MMA to Harv Eker?
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, that's a
there was an intermediary. I was looking for something I could do. Before that, I was a computer programmer. I used to make video games.
Hmm.
And I couldn't do that around my training schedule. So I was looking to get into sales because I thought I could, there was more of a likelihood that I could kind of make my own schedule, do my own thing.
Sure.
And there's a few weird, I had this, a friend who had just had a business relationship went sour and, so he was looking for someone he could trust as opposed to someone who knew what they were doing. So I set up an office under his company in Vancouver that was we were doing a lot of direct marketing. So I had a team of people that were going door to door, and we had booths set up in malls and colleges and universities throughout what's called the Lower Mainland, which is all of around Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know what the heck I was doing at the time, and just trying to grow that thing. And we ended up, I'll tell you a funny story how it went under. I negotiated a really sweet deal with a local credit union, and we had all my best reps on it, and it was where we were making all of our money. I was really focused on, I put all my eggs in that basket, so to speak, learned the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever focus on one supplier.
Sure.
But anyway, I did that. And I had a guy who was working at one of the universities, one of my sales reps, and he was taking information off of order forms of women, I guess, that he found attractive. And he was pursuing them romantically in the off hours, I guess is the most pleasant way I can put it.
I think Target had a problem with that at one point. It's kind of like a little breach of privacy there, huh? Filling out a form and then, hey, you remember that form you filled out? I'm that guy.
Seems like with the MMA skills, you could have made more money with that door-to-door. Like, hey, really?
Or there you go.
Sign here.
Yeah, I think this is where you want to sign, right?
Yeah.
So that's how, needless to say, that probably got you guys in a wee little bit of trouble, yeah?
I got in a lot of trouble there, and we lost the contract overnight. I lost most of my sales reps overnight. It was a blessing. I mean, I hated it anyway. It was stressful. Enterprise, yeah. But it fell apart in a matter of hours. The whole company fell apart. Went from 20 some odd sales reps to like 10 or 11, and then I couldn't pay the, and then the whole thing fell apart in a matter of days.
It's kind of a trip, man. How like it can literally take you years and sometimes decades to build something meaningful, and like literally in a matter of seconds, everything can just go to hell in a handbasket. I mean, just like that.
Totally.
All right, so let's do this. Let's go ahead here, and we're going to take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio. We got Justin Livingston on with us today. Super excited to talk to him. We got the background now, got a real clear understanding on where Justin came from. And I got to tell you, just based on my experience having done Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for about 15, 16 years, you catch a couple knees to the head, you catch a couple elbows to the head, and you decide, you know what? If I'm Justin, I'm actually doing this like professionally, and I'm getting that like where people actually mean to do it, yeah, I'm thinking I probably got to figure out another way to make a living there. So really interesting to see where he came from. I know he's absolutely crushing it now, and I want to find out as much as we can about how to create that automated, that passive revenue, because I know for a fact, as he said, that the system that he has in place right now that is completely scalable, which is super cool, and I want to talk about being able to scale something online because that is where the magic and the money really is. But I know that they are literally doing millions of dollars, so that's not an exaggeration.
Wow.
So I'm going to have Justin step us through that right here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulcher, Mary Gualey, Richard Tainahas, and we got Justin Livingston on the line. So, Mary, let's bring Justin back on. And Justin, before the break, we got a little taste of what you're doing, and certainly we want more specifics. So take people through, when you talk about automated passive revenue, first of all, what is the difference in your mind between automated and passive revenue, or is there no difference at all?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would say automated implies that it's that there's some form of technology that's trucking along, taking people through whatever the experience is of potential clients. Passive, to me, doesn't necessarily need automation. It just means that I'm not doing anything. So,
mm-hmm.
So in our sequences online, we do have parts that aren't automated where we try to increase the intimacy of a campaign through human interaction, but it's not me, we may have situations where people are getting on the phone with like a coach or a sales rep, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not automated, but it's passive as from my standpoint.
Gotcha. So let take people through exactly what you're doing. This is the main structure that you have in place right now in terms of your automated webinar sequence, and that's
mm-hmm.
what we'll start with. That is something that you're doing for
sure.
Callen, and well, it's obviously for you as well.
Yep.
I mean, you're partner of the company, whatever. But it's Callen and sort of that whole magnetize your audience brand, correct? So take people through exactly what
yep.
happens, because I don't think that there is clarity around what you're supposed to do, how you do it, and then is it something that people can still do today, or has this sort of process run its course?
Oh, no. I mean, ours is still, we still have these campaigns running right now. Yeah, they still work for sure. In fact, as far from a from an evergreen standpoint, especially in the like the information space for experts and that ilk, to me, as a conversion mechanism, a webinar is still the superior mechanism. At least I haven't found anything that works in our space better. So our sequences tend to revolve around use webinars as the hub. Like, and what I mean by that is that's the point in the machine where someone goes from a potential client to a paying client is through a webinar. Now, of course, there's other ways to create automated and passive client acquisition sequences like this. I think, you know, the main thing to keep in mind, I'll go through some of the bigger points of our structure, and people can definitely use the whole thing or pieces of it right away to improve what they're doing online. But the core concept, I think, if all you do is take a look at what you're doing online and continuously ask yourself the question, this is totally counterintuitive, ask yourself the question how you can take any one piece of a campaign and make it multiple pieces. So what the hell do I mean by that?
Yeah, what the hell you mean by that?
What I mean is how can you take any action that you're asking someone to take and to go to the next step of a sequence? It could be opting in, it could be clicking on a link, it could be signing up for a webinar, it could be attending a webinar, whatever the next step is for them, how can you make each of those steps multiple less significant steps, like micro commitments, in other words?
Mm-hmm. So breadcrumbs,
making sense?
Basically? Like breadcrumbs? Little trails?
Yeah.
Little
here's,
steps?
Here's an example. I'll give you an example of something that we've been just recently tested that I haven't seen, you know, like I just haven't seen anyone even think of this. Never mind. I actually got this idea. It was from a friend of mine named Ryan Levesque. I saw what he was doing, and then as soon as I saw it, I thought, oh, my goodness, do it this way instead. And he tested it, and then now we both use this this structure. So let's say typically what people are doing now, as an example, Clay Collins and Lead Pages made it kind of popular where someone goes to an opt-in page, and instead of having the name and email address on the page, instead it's just a button. And it isn't until you click the button that the name and the email address fields pop up.
Yeah.
You following me so far?
Yep.
Okay. So that's an example of making one step, now two steps, two micro steps.
Mm-hmm.
With me?
Yep.
Okay. So what we've done now is if you go to an opt-in page and you click on that button, instead of asking for the name and email address right away, you get asked a question, like a survey,
like a qualifying question, really.
Totally. It's just adding another step so that they can get more engaged into the sequence, but at a less commitment per step.
So
if someone goes to opt in for Callan's book, Wealth Through Workshops, as an example, so they click the button to get the book, and we'll say, it'll quickly ask them a question. You know, like we've tested one version was we asked them which type of live event do they lead? Are they leading workshops, seminars, or retreats, or all three? And so now when they click whichever one that they click on, then it pops up as step two. It pops up the name and the email address for them to enter to actually get their copy of the book. So totally counterintuitive mechanism that leads to more opt-ins, to a higher opt-in rate.
Have you tested that on...
At least the concept of that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, have you tested that on warm and cold traffic, like current customers and cold traffic?
Yeah.
Does it work the same?
Yep. Yeah. I haven't pulled out only current clients, like paying customers, but warm. I've tested like warm leads versus cold leads for sure, like people who are on our list versus partners list versus, you know, Facebook ads or whatever.
Yeah, and so.
But
just,
yeah, it'd be interesting to test it with clients.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and again, the more you can split test and try to figure out what's working, what's not. Obviously, the better results you're going to get in the long run. But just so people are clear, if you've got. Well, traffic seems to be the main issue for most people. So you can have the best sequence in the world, but if nobody sees it, it's irrelevant. So how are you primarily driving traffic to... Because like you said, you got Callan's book, right? So I assume Callan's book then is the entry point of the automated webinar sequence, right? So you're trying to get people to say, hey, send me Callan's book, and then there's a next step after that. So let's start at sort of the, you know, let's go back to the embryonic stages here, which is how are you even getting people to see Callan's book so that they can opt in and say, hey, send it to me?
Sure. Okay. But so the reason I explained that last piece was just that, I mean, we went into a specific example, but I just wanted to, as an example of a concept of this micro commitment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because what, so if we were using webinars as an example, we don't ever promote people directly to the webinar. They have to go through a set of easier steps first. So as an, because you're saying that traffic is the issue, but if you set up your campaign intelligently, traffic becomes a lot less of an issue, and I'll tell you why.
Hmm.
So an example would be Facebook ads, right? People are, you know, using Facebook ads all the time. Obviously, a very popular medium nowadays. I don't think I'm revolutionizing or shocking anyone with that statement. Mm-hmm. So, but if people are doing a webinar, let's say, well, the intuitive thing to do would be to put together Facebook ads to drive people to a webinar registration page. Well, it turns out that that's not a, that's an expensive endeavor, and it's really hard to scale. If you're going to do that online, you're going to have the issue that you're suggesting. You're going to have a traffic issue, or at least you're going to perceive that you have a traffic issue. But if you back that step up and ask and think, okay, what less commitment pieces can I ask along the way? What you'll find is that if you're able to if you're able to back it up into a single hook, which I'll explain in a moment, that you're, if you do something like a Facebook ad, you drive a lot more traffic because it'll have more of a viral component to it.
Mm.
So I'll give you an example. Okay, perfect example, Steve. I'm assuming that your listeners and stuff know about that, the launch that you did recently.
I would think that some of them do and some of them don't. But yeah, go ahead and so let's use Push Button Influence then as an example. Sure.
Push Button Influence. Well, you did a, you and Alex did a phenomenal job of backing up your promise that you're making from your program, and then of course you put together a video series, but you backed up your promise into a series of hooks. The hooks were these giveaways that you were giving in exchange for an opt-in.
Yeah.
So give me an example of one of them. I forget what you named them. That's
so the director of influencers, I think, was the one that, yeah, that was the one you really liked.
Yeah. So I like that one because the instant gratification of that promise is so huge. It's something that I can download and use in real time. It's this directory that all the information is already there, and it implies that it was a done for you.
Mm-hmm.
You and Alex did all this work for me. Now I can actually, as soon as I download it, I could use it theoretically. So that's like the, you know, the definition of instant gratification.
Yeah. Okay.
So because you backed it up that far, if I publish that online, like say through a Facebook ad, that post is a lot more likely to get liked, commented, and shared. Have you tried creating Facebook ads for that?
So we
giveaway,
did,
or you probably don't have it up anymore.
Yeah, we did some of that during the launch period, but we're going to revisit exactly what to do here down the line. Man, you know what? It's crazy here because obviously there's so many details that go into creating this, and we've got to, here's what we're going to have to do, man, because we're going to, it sucks, but we're going to run out of time. So like literally what we're going to have to do here in this last segment, it's hard to believe, but I mean, time literally just does fly. What I want you to do in this last segment is let's just take a more of a high level look at the sequence and what people can be doing to drive traffic. I think Facebook will just throw that out as the mechanism. And then let's look at what happens after they land on whatever that page is, whatever that ad is, whatever it is that they click on, what happens after that. And let's just kind of keep it at a high level because we really want to give people an opportunity here to set up their own sequence or at least learn from Justin exactly what they're doing and how they're doing it, because I got to tell you, it is working phenomenally well. And let's get into details here on Reinvention Radio with Justin right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back here to Reinvention Radio. We got Justin Livingston on the line with us. And Mary, let's bring Justin back in here. And before we get just absolutely just this segment runs away from us, Justin, if people want more information about you, about what you're doing with Callen, about your own programs, products, services, where is the best place for folks to go?
Hey, you know what? Just hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/Justin Livingston. Send me a message on there. I'm on there all the time and my team's on there. But Steve, I'm going to build you a six-figure passive automated funnel in the next 10, 15 minutes.
Done.
What about you, Mary? What about me and Mary?
Well, Mary,
I'm taking notes, okay?
Except we've got eight minutes and 30 seconds.
Okay. Go.
Okay, with a minimal amount of work in 8 minutes, I think I can do it.
Go.
You believe me?
I know you. I believe you.
Okay, here it is. Okay, so we'll use as an example your product with Alex. So to remind the viewers, our listeners, what it's called.
Yeah, so push-button influence. Basically, we teach people how to get massive visibility at virtually no cost.
Okay, perfect. So now we're going to assume one thing. We're going to assume that you have an offer. The offer for that is nailed, okay? Because I can't go through building out the entire offer.
Yep.
But so you're going to have a webinar that's going to teach people promise to teach people how to start building and scaling out their audience, and then you're going to make an offer at the end for your push-button influence. Okay?
Yep.
You with me?
Yep.
Okay. So minimal amount of work. What you're going to do, you're going to record that webinar, and then what you're going to do is you're going to have someone transcribe it. If you hadn't literally scripted it all, you would send it off to someone. They would transcribe it.
Mm-hmm.
Then what you'll do is you'll create an ebook out of the transcript of your webinar, give it the exact same name as the webinar. And that's what you're going to promote with your Facebook ads. We won't get into retargeting and how you keep your ad spend down. That's another topic for another day. All you're going to do for right now, you're going to create an ebook version of your webinar. Then you're going to create ads to send people to opt in for that ebook.
Mm-hmm.
On the thank you page for the ebook, you're going to have your webinar registration page. Has to be video-based. The reason is because otherwise you're going to confuse the heck out of people. So people are going to opt in for your ebook called whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
On the thank you page, you're going to say, hey, congratulations. Thank you so much for requesting the book. I've already sent it to your inbox. Just want to give you a quick heads up. I happen to be leading a webinar on the exact same topic. Of course, on the webinar, I'll go into a few more examples and case studies of how you can use this information in your business. Just go ahead, check the schedule on the right side of the page there. If it fits in your calendar, go ahead, get yourself signed up, and I'll see you on the webinar.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Totally.
So now the value proposition of the webinar becomes very simple. It's basically an upsell from the report. You'll end up saving yourself about 25% or so of your acquisition cost for webinar registrations. You'll build 300 to 400 times bigger list per dollar spent on Facebook ads.
Hmm.
Now, we need to get those people to show up on the webinar.
Yeah.
So what you're going to do in between them registering for the webinar and the webinar itself, you're going to give them access to at least one video. Okay? On that video, I want you to do two things. I want you to edify the viewer. When you edify them, you're going to edify them for two things. You want to edify them for who they are, and you want to edify them for who they're trying to become. So you know who they are based on whatever your target audience is, and you know who they're trying to become by the transformation that you've promised on your webinar. So through story, you want to come up with a way to make them feel like you know and that they're very special and they're up to something very special, some form of edification.
Mm-hmm.
You with me so far?
Yep.
8 minutes, we're doing this quick. The second thing I want you to do on that webinar, or sorry, in that video, is I want you to teach them something that gives their logical part of their brain a justification for wanting whatever you're promising on the webinar. Because the viewer, the person's going to be in one of two places. Either they're going to be a person that's been trying to have that success over some period of time and they've been struggling, so they've lost the confidence or the belief that they can do it, or they haven't started yet, which means that they've just got the one toe in. There's something about it that they don't actually believe it's something that they can be, do, or have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you a quick example.
Mm-hmm.
In the Cal and Rush sequence, where we're promising to teach people how to fill their live events, the education in that video justifies why doing live events are such a great idea. So we give them education as to why doing live events is better than coaching one-on-one or better than doing things online, et cetera, et cetera. So it gives the logical part of their brain that justification, like, yes, that's it lets them know that they're doing the right thing or they're pursuing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Are we clear?
Got it.
So you're going to maximize your registrations into your webinar. You're going to maximize your show-up rate with that video content. So our webinars typically are 40% or higher show-up rate, which is like, you know, good luck finding that in anyone else's campaigns because they don't do that that edification and that justification process. Now, what I want you to do is to make sure that people are very clear in your webinars that you don't give replays. There is no replays available. That will also spike your show-up rate.
So
then what you do post-webinar, you with me?
Yep.
Post-webinar, what you're going to do is do a video similar to you did in your launch where it's you and Alex with a flip chart between you. Teach the exact same content that's in the webinar and make the exact same offer. You can truncate it, though. Make it a bit shorter. Like if it's an hour webinar, maybe make this like a 25, 30-minute video. That allows you to send the content and the offer in lieu of the replay. So you can still get them the information. They still get exposed to the offer post-webinar without you going out of integrity and saying that doing what you said you wouldn't do, which is send the actual replay.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Yep.
Okay. If you do just those things, assuming, again, that you've got the offer nailed, that's a multi-six-figure campaign just through Facebook ads.
Well,
there's about 2 minutes left. A quick question.
Absolutely.
Right. So according to your method right there, Facebook ads, lead pages, some sort of webinar software, you don't even need a website. I mean, I'm not saying don't do
no.
it, but we only had 2 minutes. You know what I mean? Like with what you said, like that's all you need, right?
Totally.
What is the webinar software you most recommend?
I have campaigns for...
Unless you got an affiliate link.
EverWebinar.
Yeah, they use EverWebinar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, EverWebinar. And so...
And you're totally right. We have campaigns like this running where we use lead pages and or ClickFunnels. We use their domains because they load faster than ours.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to use our own website.
Yeah, it's
you're totally right. You don't need anything.
Take us to the nth degree here. So this sequence, which obviously you've optimized, in 2015, approximately how much in revenue did you do with this sequence? And you were selling the $2,000 Magnetize Your Audience program, correct?
Yep. About $2.2 million.
There you go. So $2.2 million. Now, there's a lot of information here. I mean, obviously, a lot of really good stuff. And Justin, I was saying on the break here to Rich and to Mary, I mean, we could literally have you on for like 4 days. So when we go to a 24-hour Reinvention Radio show, all Reinvention Radio all the time, we'll have Justin on for four of those days. Because, like, literally, man, I know how hard it is to get this. I mean, it's because there's so much here, but yet it's so simple, and you break it down in a way that is totally understandable, but there are folks who are definitely going to want to go deeper with you. So facebook.com/JustinLivingston. So it's all one word, correct? There's no dots or hyphens or anything with Justin Livingston there?
No.
Awesome.
And no E at the end of my name either.
There you go. And I know you actually do it. You have you have a launch coming up. So where do people come? Because I know you're teaching this in more depth. If people want to find out more information about this particular sequence, where can they go? Is that ready yet? What can they do?
No, I don't think any of it's up yet. Just, you know what? Just hit me up on Facebook. That way people can tell me exactly what they want. I'll send them whatever they want. I got a wealth of goodies they can have.
Yep. All right. Sounds really good. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to send people to facebook.com/JustinLivingston so they can get connected with Justin and learn even more, because there's so much there. That was just literally the tip of the iceberg, man. I wish we had all day for Justin, but unfortunately, we only get 17 hours here on Reinvention Radio, and we're in hour 17. We'll talk to you guys next time.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.